wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Jim is gone. You can hear that. He's actually in Tokyo right now covering the Olympics, one of maybe two journalists in Tokyo from Minnesota, which is really cool. But we've got along with us Jeff Diamond, the host of the show, so we don't need Jim this week. We've got Jeff to take care of everything. And Jeff was actually at camp yesterday. Wasn't that correct, Jeff?
Yes, I was, Brandon. And thanks for all your help with the show. And, of course, we want to thank the White Bear Lake Superstore, our sponsor, and excited about our show and certainly Vikings training camp opening and the start of the upcoming 2021 NFL season here in Minnesota and throughout the NFL. Lots of storylines that we'll get to today, including, of course, we can't avoid talking about the Mr. Prima Donna, Aaron Rodgers, who showed up in Green Bay and had a very interesting press conference that we'll discuss. But first of all, let's focus on the Vikings, Brandon, and talk about camp and camp opening yesterday. I was happy to be out at TCO Performance Center, and it was a much different atmosphere compared to a year ago. Absolutely. Fans are in the stands, which is great to see. And hearing the skull chant during practice was certainly a happy sound to hear coming from the stands. So the fans were into it. The players were excited to be out there, and lots of positives in terms of the Vikings coming in for the start of the season. I think there's a lot of optimism that you can feel from the fans and from the players and coaches. They've kind of worked through some of these off-season question marks that they had with Danielle Hunter's contract situation, with Jeff Gladney still not there as he addresses the domestic violence issue that's going before the courts down in Texas, before he'll ever show up if he does. And so he was the only player that was absent yesterday. So good to see everyone on the field except for Gladney, and including several players who missed time during the spring practices and the OTAs and mini camps, and talking about guys like certainly Danielle Hunter first and foremost, and Bashad Breeland, the corner that they acquired, and a couple other players that were coming off of injuries and were back out there, including Michael Pierce, who was not expected to be able to participate early on in camp, but he was out there doing a lot of individual drills and the big nose tackle. And I think in terms of impressions, my immediate impressions looking at this football team is there's a ton of skill on this team on the offensive side, and there's big improvement depth-wise on the defensive side. And of course, you start with Hunter coming back, and that's major. And then add Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks, who missed time last year. Barr missed most of the season. Kendricks, the last five games, they were big losses in terms of top defensive talented players. And so I think my first impression, the defensive line is so much better and has so much more depth than they had last year. And I think obviously you start with Hunter, and in terms of the defensive end group, then you add Stephen Weatherly coming back, who was gone in Carolina for a year in free agency. All these young defensive ends, DJ Wanham in his second year, the two draft picks, Patrick Jones in the third round and Janarius Robinson fourth round, really big, impressive, speedy athletes. And one of the things that really caught my eye too, and thinking about Danielle Hunter and is he all in and is he happy? Well, I think the answer to that was very clear to me when I saw him kind of taking Robinson aside and helping him with some tips on pass rushes, and just shows that Danielle Hunter is taking on even more of a leadership role with that defensive line now. And so I think those are all positives, but really striking on the defensive line are the big body defensive tackles, which I think could be the biggest improvement on this football team this year. When you talk about Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson, they're two big free agent signings the last 2 years. Those guys are big body, beefy guys inside. Eric Kendricks talked about it in his media conference yesterday about those are some big guys he's got in front of him to help him make a lot of plays in the run game and in the pass game. And so I think that's a huge improvement. Sheldon Richardson also back, another big improvement at that defensive tackle group. They are going to be so much better inside against the run and potentially in pass rush, especially when they move some other guys inside, such as Weatherly. And so it's really a huge improvement. I think some of the question marks that I have early on that we'll talk about after we talk a little bit White Bear Lake Superstore, what's going on with the offensive line? Christian Darrisaw is kind of coming back from a groin injury. So he was not participating in any of the team drills yesterday. He was on the field, but how quick can he get in and get established at that left tackle spot? If he misses a couple weeks and a couple of even preseason games and those practices with Denver, I think that's very detrimental to that offensive line's development. Rashad Hill was taking the first team snaps at left tackle, and we've seen enough of Rashad Hill to know, yeah, he's a good backup guy if you got to have him in for a few snaps, but you don't want him starting and lining up against guys like Khalil Mack and some of those Packer defensive ends that are coming at you, Za'Darius Smith. That's not going to be a good formula for success. The other interesting thing on the offensive line, how quick can Wyatt Davis, the third-round pick, develop and insert himself into the starting lineup? We saw Ole Udo and Dakota Dozier kind of alternating, taking snaps with the first unit. And Udo's an interesting guy. He's a big, big guy and has some talent. I know they like him. And so he could be in the mix if Davis isn't ready early on. Dozier, again, a good backup guy. You probably don't want him starting. We saw enough of that last year. So I think in terms of the offensive line, it's hard to count on rookies in the first year, but for that line to improve and for Kirk Cousins to get the max protection and Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison to have the running lanes in front of them, they're going to need Darrisaw and Davis to emerge eventually and very quickly, hopefully, before the opener against Cincinnati. So let's take a second, Brandon, and talk about our great sponsor, the White Bear Lake Superstore. And I'm always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC. My longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gattrell, their great staff, Minnesota's number one volume, Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. Check out their great website that Jim and I talk about every week, and it's WhiteBearLakeSuperstore.com. And you'll see 2021 Buick SUV models with a 0% APR for 72 months, plus current Buick or GMC owners and lessees receive an additional $500 purchase allowance on most models. There's a $3,000 purchase allowance on 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab models, plus $250 purchase allowance for current Buick GMC owners and lessees, and $500 bonus cash when you finance through GM Financial, plus great purchase allowances on many 2021 Buick Encore GXs and Encores. So check it out, thewhitebearlakesuperstore.com. And the White Bear Lake Superstore is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore. They are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut. So visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade. So, Brandon, let's talk a little bit more about this football team, the Vikings. And as I was out at training camp yesterday, a couple other things struck me. As I mentioned, the great skill on offense, and with Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, looks like a super confident receiver in his second season. And we know how great he was as a rookie. Adam Thielen looks great. And the two starting tight ends, I'm talking about Irv Smith Jr. and Tyler Conklin, I expect big years out of both of those guys. So skill position-wise on offense, they're in great shape. I think, again, the question is going to be how quick can that offensive line come together? Defensively, very interesting to see the turnover, especially in the secondary. It was great to see the linebacker situation with Byron Kendricks there and the battle will be for that third starting linebacker spot. We'll see how quick Chaz Surratt, the third round pick out of North Carolina, comes on, or Nick Vigil, who was a free agent signing from the Bengals. They could be battling for that spot along with Troy Dye, a fourth round pick last year. So good competition at linebacker. But the secondary, really interesting to see how that's going to shake out. And again, along with the offensive line, to me, are the big questions. I think the defensive line is going to be fine. I really do. And I think they're going to be very impactful. The secondary is a bigger concern for me. Can Patrick Peterson reclaim his status as a top corner in this league at 30 years old? And what's going to happen on the other side? Breland was impressive to me watching him yesterday. He was a guy who missed time in the spring, but he looks like he's recovered and looks very quick in coverage, made some nice breakups. Chris, I think in terms of other guys in that secondary that are really interesting to keep an eye on, Cam Dantzler has so much talent, but we saw him miss a lot of time in the offseason program, but he was out there working yesterday. So he needs to stay healthy. He needs to bulk up a little bit. And Harrison Hand had a good offseason program, and he's another corner that's in the mix, as is Chris Boyd. So lots of good stuff in that secondary, lots of talent there, but how quick can they come together? And I think they'll be fine at safety, obviously, with Harrison Smith still at the top of his game, and he could be in line for an extension very soon. He's going into his last season, and so we'll see how that shakes out. And I think that Xavier Woods should be able to do a decent enough job replacing Anthony Harris at the other safety spot. So I think defensively they're in pretty good shape, but questions in the secondary, questions on the offensive line. I think a couple of the things that are very noticeable in terms of the rookie class: speed, and I'm talking about speed in the form of a couple of skill guys on offense. Kane Wong-Wu, the running back out of Iowa State, super fast, and he looks like he can replace Mike Boone, take on his role as a special team guy in coverage and also as that third running back. And then I think also interesting, Imar Smith-Marset, the wide receiver out of Iowa, made a great deep ball catch yesterday from Kellen Mond, the young quarterback. And so I think some good things there with those guys and Smith-Marset. There'll be a great battle for those third, fourth, fifth, and sixth wide receiver spots, including Dede Westbrook, who the Vikings signed last weekend, came from Jacksonville and had been with Keaton McCardell, the new wide receiver coach down there, and had a lot of good production as a slot receiver with the Jaguars, 132 catches combined in 2018, 2019, 8 touchdowns. So he's a guy that's definitely in the mix and will compete with Chad Beebe and DC Johnson in terms of and KJ Osborne in terms of who's going to make those receiver spots. Great competition there. So I think those are some of the storylines that I take away from my start of training camp, first day of training camp. I think the highlight for me was seeing Danielle Hunter put a spin move on Brian O'Neill, who was a super, super talented offensive tackle, and put a spin move on O'Neill. And it kind of said, hey, Danielle Hunter is back from the neck injury, back from his contract issues. And as I said, helping to tutor the young guys. So that's a great, great sight. And I'm sure they're going to manage his snaps in preseason as they're going to manage Dalvin Cook's snaps, which they always need to do. I don't think Dalvin Cook needs to take any snaps in preseason games because we know what he can do, and he needs to stay healthy. He's such an important part of this football team. So lots of good stuff at training camp early on, and now they kind of get down to the hard work at camp. I've been through a lot of training camps in my years with the Vikings and the Titans, and training camp, it's hot, it's tough. There's a lot of work to be done. They weren't in full pads yesterday. That's going to come next week, and then things are going to definitely ramp up at that point. So I think at this point, Brandon, let's switch gears a little bit, talk about what's going on around the NFL. And is there a guy you want to ask me a question about?
I mean, was there somebody that showed up yesterday with really crazy sunglasses and an attitude? Yeah, that guy, maybe Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think that guy, Aaron Rodgers, and yeah, he showed up in Green Bay with his contract situation supposedly under control. And really, I think it's kind of laughable how the news broke and said, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a lot more control over where he ends up as a player. And the Packers have capitulated to allow him to have input on personnel and all this and that. And maybe he did to a certain extent early on because Randall Cobb has been traded for, and that's one of his old receiving guys. And so he has some input there. But let's be honest here. To say that Aaron Rodgers had a big win here with this offseason hoopla and not reporting for minicamp and OTAs, no. He got basically nothing out of this holdout early on. And he was smart enough to know, I need to play. I don't need to sit out and face a bunch of fines. And I'm 38 years old. I need to play. I think what's happened here is that they've come to an understanding that this is going to be his last year, most likely, unless something changes in his mind. And he had a very candid media conference after reporting where he talked about issues, said not enough money was spent on certain veteran players, and mentioned a lot of guys over the years that were let go, such as Charles Woodson and just a litany of players that he felt were mistreated by the Packers. So it wasn't exactly a warm and fuzzy press conference. And so I think that when you think about what's going to happen here in the future, it's very obvious that the Packers weren't ready to trade the MVP in the league this year. I think by next year they will be ready to trade him unless he goes out and wins the Super Bowl. And even in that situation, despite what they're saying about, well, Rodgers is going to have control about where he's going, hey, let's face it. If Aaron Rodgers says, I want to go to the Vikings, they're not going to trade him to the Vikings. They're not going to trade him in the division. They're not going to even trade him in the NFC. He's going to go to an AFC team, as was what happened with Brett Favre when he was traded to the Jets before he wound up back at the Vikings. And it's just not going to happen for him to be able to dictate, yeah, I want to go to Minnesota, or I want to go to Chicago, or whatever. Well, of course, it's not going to be Chicago after they drafted Justin Fields. Or Detroit necessarily. He wants to get on the West Coast. Or Denver perhaps. And I do believe that the Packers were in the driver's seat on this situation from the start, still are. And they really got a great situation in the final analysis. They got their MVP quarterback back. I think he's competitive enough that he'll want to play great so that he can be attractive to other teams. And meanwhile, they can develop Jordan Love in a non-COVID training camp and a non-COVID offseason program where he took almost all the snaps. And there's three preseason games they can play Jordan Love that they had no preseason games last year. So it's really a win for the Packers, a very, very minor, minor win for Rodgers, only to the extent that he got his 2023 contract year voided, which, big deal. Who really expected him to be there for three more years? Nobody. And so I think he'll be out of there next year. But from the Vikings standpoint, I'm sure they would have preferred to have a nice long holdout for Rodgers and have a lot of angst in Green Bay. But it looks like that's not going to be the case. But I still think there's an undercurrent of discontent there with Rodgers and with the organization. And let's just call it a very shaky truce temporarily. So we'll see. And meanwhile, Davante Adams is a big issue in Green Bay. He's going into his last year, maybe the best wide receiver in the league, or certainly in the top five. And he says now that Rodgers is back, he'll listen to Green Bay's offers. But honestly, the Packers can franchise Davante Adams too. And so I doubt that he leaves next year, but we'll see how that one shakes out. So the Rodgers situation, I would call it still pretty fluid, but he is back. And that certainly, I think, makes the Packers the presumptive favorite going into the season in the NFC North. But I think the Vikings are going to give them all they can handle this year and with a very improved team. I think other stories around the league that I was looking at this week, Jonathan Allen, our IFA client, my agent group, very excited to see him get a new four-year $72 million extension, $30 million guaranteed, with Washington. And I think it's exciting news for Jonathan, for IFA, our agent firm, obviously, and for the Washington football team. He's one of the premier defensive tackle players in the NFL. Very impactful player. He's not a guy that gets a ton of sacks like Aaron Donald, but he had, I think he was top five in pressures from the inside, and he makes that Washington defensive line so great, along with Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Very, very excellent, one of the best defensive lines in the NFL, and he's a big part of that. The Deshaun Watson story just is really, it continues to be troubling, and it's got to be troubling for the Texans. They've said that they're willing to trade him, but they're not going to get the offer that they're looking for until he has been able to overcome the legal issues that he has, if he can overcome them, with the 22 lawsuits pending for sexual assault, inappropriate behavior, alleged inappropriate behavior, alleged sexual assault. And he has reported to Texans camp and participating in individual drills, but not team drills so far. So that's kind of strange. And that whole situation, again, will be one to watch, the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston, and see what happens there. Russell Wilson, another guy in Seattle, has reported saying all the right stuff, but again, another undercurrent there. And I think he could well be traded by next year too, but he'll be there for this year. And I think other stories, just the whole COVID vaccination story, Brandon, continues to percolate around the NFL, and the league is really putting the pressure on in order to try to get these players vaccinated, and making it very uncomfortable for them if they're not. And there are several teams around the league that are getting closer to 100%. I think the Vikings are more in the middle group, it sounds like, in the 70% and above, but not quite at that 90% where five teams are, supposedly. And if you're vaccinated as a player, it's a lot easier experience day to day. You don't have to be tested. You can leave the hotel on the road. You can leave town during the bye week. There's a lot of ways they're making it very uncomfortable for these players that aren't vaccinated, and coaches, as we saw here with the Vikings offensive line coach, Rick Dennison, who was essentially ousted under NFL protocol that all coaches have to be vaccinated in order to be on the practice field. He is not vaccinated, so he is staying with the team as a senior offensive advisor, and so he can work with the players remotely and virtually, but he can't be hands-on. He can't be at practice. And Phil Rauscher, the assistant offensive line coach, has taken on the offensive line coach duties. And so I think the transition should be okay there. Phil's been here for several years and certainly knows the players, understands the position. As offensive line coach, he's been that around the league elsewhere. But that's our world today. If you don't get vaccinated in the NFL, it's not going to be a lot of fun for you. And so we'll see if they're able to get some of these players who have been apprehensive about it, including guys like Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, just tested positive. And so now he can't practice for however amount of time with the Ravens. And so it's a really slippery slope with COVID around the NFL and with the Delta variant and all the other stuff going on. And so I think it's still going to be something the teams have to deal with this year. But as I said, overall, when you look at where this league is today compared to a year ago, it's a massive, massive improvement. And with fans coming back to stadiums this fall in full force, that'll be a lot better atmosphere. And we felt it at training camp yesterday with the fans doing the skull chant. And as we said, a lot of excitement and optimism around Viking camp. So I'll be heading out to camp periodically and giving my reports weekly. And so I think at this point, again, Brandon, we want to thank you as our producer and Talk North and also, of course, our sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore. We hope that Our man Jim Suhan is doing okay in Tokyo with all the craziness going on over there, and I'm sure he's very excited to report on SUNY Lee winning the gold medal in the all-around gymnastics out of St. Paul, which is great news. And so we say hello from a distance to Jim and look forward to welcoming him back in a couple of weeks. But next week, you and I will take the reins and talk a little bit more about training camp and what's going on around the NFL on Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider.